I want to bring in my good friend, Dr. John Green, professor of political science, University of Akron. And John, let's get into the debate of what you took in last week. Certainly, people would have to have their heads buried in the sand if they didn't get some sort of look and words pertaining to the president, Joe Biden, and his struggles. Did you see it that way as well?
Yeah, I think it was a very disappointing night for Joe Biden and his supporters. And I think, frankly, a distressing night for many people who might not necessarily support President Biden, because he really struggled a lot during the debate. You know, Joe Biden was never a very great debater, you know, if you look back historically, but it was a particularly weak performance. I thought he started out very poor. But then as the night got on, he strengthened a little bit, but overall, it was not what the Democrats had hoped for, what the Biden campaign had hoped for. And frankly, it reinforced a lot of the opinions that people have had for some time now that maybe President Biden's age is going to be a factor.
Yeah, there's no doubt there, right, John? I mean, and I agree with you from the outset in his first delivery, because I thought he had to come out. I'll let you do a deep dive in this. I thought he had to come out and really put it spot on right at the beginning. And I thought from the first couple of words out, he was struggling. And there was even some times when he was having a tough time finishing his thought process and having a tough time with numbers. And the former president, Donald Trump, was able to take advantage of that.
I think he really was. And one of the other interesting factors to the debate was that the debate rules actually probably benefited Donald Trump, because it kept him more on message. He showed an uncharacteristic discipline in sticking to issues that he wanted to stick to. And, you know, there's just the contrast there on the TV screen between, you know, really two old men, frankly, but one of them fairly vital and very much in command of his language, be that what it may be, and then another one really struggling. I found it kind of painful to watch, frankly.
I did as well. Dr. John Green with us, professor of political science at the University of Akron. So let's flip the cards. You know, the former president, Donald Trump, was assertive. I thought he did a pretty good job of buttoning his mouth for the most point. But the thing that really threw me off with him on the other side is a lot of times he didn't answer the question. He just was in total rebuttal mode, going against the former president instead of answering the questions that were asked to him.
You know, and that's a problem in a lot of debates, not just with Donald Trump, but with other people as well. You know, oftentimes the candidates, you know, they have an agenda, and it doesn't matter what question they're asked, they're going to, you know, follow their agenda. Oftentimes consultants and campaign managers advise their candidates to behave that way. But beyond that, I think, you know, part of Donald Trump's problem is that he has a whole series of grievances. And, you know, maybe there's some validity to some of them or not, but the point is that he just can't control himself, you know, or seems to not be able to control himself when it comes to the grievances. I thought the real low point of the debate was, from the point of view of public policy, was the whole discussion about golf handicaps.
Yes.
I mean, what was that about?
I agree. It was, you know, the whole thing, John, to me, was difficult to take in, because, one, you're looking at Biden's struggles, and then you're sitting there looking at Trump answering questions that weren't asked to him, and I'm going, oh, my gosh, this is difficult. And I bring that up because did either of these two, you know, you and I have talked about that middle third, right? We got to, you know, get them excited to get out and vote. Did they let everyone down on that side?
You know, you have to wonder about it. The polls since the debate have shown that while a lot of folks, and of course we haven't had very many days, we don't have comprehensive polling yet, but it shows a lot of concern on the part of particularly those independent voters. Of course, some concerns about President Biden's age, but I'm not really sure that Donald Trump did very well on policy grounds in attracting some of those people in the middle. And one of the strange things about this election is we have an uncharacteristically large number of voters who are telling pollsters they don't like either Trump or Biden. And those folks, I don't think, saw very much in the debate that would sway them either way.
Yeah, I agree with you. Dr. John Green, professor of political science, University of Akron. So the chatter over the weekend, John, is should the president, President Joe Biden, step down here. Is there another person in the Democrat Party that might be willing to step in? And I think that's hitting the panic button. I don't know if that's ever been done at this late stage. You certainly know election history much better than I do. But what do you take in from all this chatter coming from a lot of people that want to see it maybe a different candidate on that side?
Well, you know, for some time now, there have been voices on the liberal Democratic side, particularly among pundits and editorial writers, arguing that maybe Biden wasn't the best candidate. And so this is not a new meme, but I do think there was a good bit of panic. I mean, some people have characterized it, I think, perhaps accurately as a bit of a meltdown. You know, you have people like the New York Times editorializing that Biden needs to step down. And, you know, there are two really big issues here. One is, how would you do that? I mean, the primaries are over. Biden won many, many delegates. Many of those delegates are required by law, their state law, to vote for the person who won the primary in their state. So it's not as if there's an easy path forward. And the easiest way to make a change, and maybe the only legitimate way, would be if Biden were to decide to not seek re-election, right, to sort of step down and let the party pick somebody else. But that has huge problems, too. You know, you're right. This hasn't ever happened before. You know, it would be a completely new thing, and there'd be tremendous risks associated with it. Because who knows what kind of conflicts might emerge in the Democratic Party, which, like the Republican Party, has its own internal divisions.
Yeah, it would be interesting. It would make for one of the wackiest presidential elections ever, right? You've got Donald Trump, who was found guilty in court, and then all of a sudden you also have a substitute candidate on the Democrat side. Well, that being said, how does that shake out, John? Do you know? Because the states have voted for the president, Joe Biden, to be that side. How would that fall together if they were going to go in another direction? How does that work?
Well, I see two ways. I mean, there's all kinds of speculation out there, which is really pretty amazing. But I see two ways could happen. One is that they go ahead, they have the convention, you know, Biden is nominated, and then he says, you know, I really appreciate your support, but, you know, I've consulted with my family and my doctors, and folks, I just have to be honest, I'm not up to it. So, you know, I'm going to, you know, thank you for the endorsement, but I'm going to turn it down. And now the convention needs to make its own decision. And in such a scenario, he might, you know, endorse somebody like his vice president, Kamala Harris, for example. So that's one way to do it. The other way would be, say, before the convention, if Biden were to decide, you know, I just can't do this. And then the Democratic National Committee would have to set up a set of rules for how they would proceed. Now, they actually have some of those rules because, you know, once upon a time, conventions actually did choose the nominee, right? It wasn't settled in the primaries. But nobody's done it for so long that they'd basically be starting from scratch. And then, of course, you'd have a lot of jockeying because no matter how you do the rules, someone's going to feel disadvantaged. So, you know, there's a lot of risks. You know, as difficult as a Biden campaign may end up being in a very close election, there's a lot of risk in trying to replace the candidate at this late date.
And that would certainly give the upper hand to Donald Trump, wouldn't it, having gone through all of that and then all of a sudden throwing in a substitute candidate?
Yeah, you're absolutely right. I mean, initially, all the disturbance, even if it worked out, you know, in some cogent fashion, would advantage the Republicans because they would be able to be on message. They would be able to fish in troubled waters, as the old saying goes. And, of course, part of the idea behind this switch is that there would be some marvelous candidate out there that everybody could get behind who would be clearly, in the minds of voters, better than Trump. You know, it's easy to imagine, but it might not work out that way at all.
Well said, my friend, and that's a good way to end this conversation. A lot more of these lie down the road for us. John, thank you for the time and the insight. Always appreciate it.
Well, you're very welcome. Have a good day, Ray.